It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Welcome along to another show. It's match week, championship week, Mayo against Monaghan. This is our preview show. We would like to take this chance just before we introduce our blockbuster guest today to remind you to log on to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast and join up for lots of extra shows. You can hear Austin O'Malley talk about sports psychology and his own career. You can hear Billy Joe Padden and Edwin McGrail answer your questions. Yes, send in your questions. There's a great show on from last week on that. Lots more extras as well. We'll have even an extra section of today's show for Patreon listener special. So log on to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. Big thanks to our sponsors, Oxford Arms, who you'll hear sponsoring all our podcasts throughout the year, and Nigel Reek printing signs and office supplies as well for backing us this season. And thanks to you guys who have signed up already to our Patreon page for all that extra content. In the meantime, though, we got a podcast and a match to preview. Monaghan coming to McHale Park this weekend, Saturday at 4 o'clock. It feels like it's been ages since Mayo played football, and that's because it has been ages. Colm Boyle's back on the podcast. We'll welcome you in first. How are you, Colm?
I'm great, Rob. Yeah, good to be back on again, and good to finally have a Mayo game to look forward to. We've watched an awful lot of football since our exit to Galway, so it nearly feels like we're re-entering the championship almost at this stage. So yeah, it's good to have something to look forward to.
Kevin McStay back on the podcast as well. Good timing with a big match coming up. How are you, Kevin?
All good, Rob. All good. Had a busy weekend now, so just chilling on the Monday, trying to get over the Ulster final yesterday. Wasn't simple.
It wasn't simple. I missed the first half, sat in a pub to watch the second half.
You missed absolutely nothing.
Ah, it's incredible. Like, you nailed it, Kevin, in the commentary. At one point, it was 1-11 each, like, or whatever it was. It was around that, with about 6 minutes to go. And you're like, where's the zip? This is meant to be, like, everything on the line, Ulster title. Who's trying to win this game?
Yeah, it was so disappointing. I mean, I'm sure as athletes and competitors, everybody recognizes the one thing you want to be able to do is have the courage to go and win the damn thing when it's there in the offing. And oh God, the two teams just played for extra. It was like a soccer match. They played for extra time by not going anywhere near the offensive area, just a little bit of hand passing over and back, played down the clock. And then Donegal essentially had the ball in their hand when the ref blew it up. And didn't go up and have a go at it. It was very disappointing, and it was an incredible occasion, lads. I don't know if you've been up at Ulster finals, and what an occasion it was. Clonus was wedged, got a buzz, but the match was so underwhelming.
What was the atmosphere like, Kevin? Because for me, was it fabulous? Yeah,
fabulous until the game got into a groove, and then the whole thing just went silent. Nobody knew what to do.
That was the one thing for me, striking, watching it, like a full house in Clonus there. Like, it should absolutely be hopping. But literally, once the game started, you could just hear a pin drop in the place. You know, really struck out from watching the game.
I think even they were surprised, you know, both sets of supporters. Everyone knew it was going to be cagey and tactical. I don't think they were even prepared for, like, there must have been 40, 50 minutes of, when somebody will do the math someday and figure out how many minutes were spent hand passing the ball over and back. And somebody will do the count. I was just talking to Keith Duggan there in the Times, and he said nobody has a total on the hand passes because they're still counting them. You know, it was an amazing. It was like that during Donegal Dublin in 2011, the one that kind of was scoreless at halftime. That type, it wasn't quite, but you know what I mean. It was one of those kind of, gee, I've never seen that before. Where is this game going?
The referee, Kevin, got in the way of a Donegal hand pass about 3 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go. People I was watching with were saying, I'm glad Monaghan didn't score because that could have won the game for them. But it literally, that's how important possession was. That little intervention from the referee could have changed the game. Monaghan, forgive me. I'm glad Derry didn't win it that way. Yeah.
He was lucky nothing came of it. Yeah, he was. It was a moment.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, can we... look, at the risk of going down a complete different avenue, like, are we looking at shot clocks now? Or at the very least, a broader question is, are we looking at rules interventions to try and change this?
It won't be easy. It won't be easy to put a rule together. The the English of that rule would be a very tricky rule to put together. It'd have to be parsed very carefully. But I'd say it is, Rob, is the answer, because like the game, I was at two of the provincial finals, and I saw the other two on TV. I saw most of the Connacht when I had to go, maybe with 15 minutes to go up to the park, and they were, you know, really underwhelming. The Connacht one, there was a bit of fight in it for a while, but not overly either. With 20 minutes to go, when I left the hotel in Clonus, the Connacht final was kind of wrapped up too, and that was with 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go. So yeah, overall it was a very disappointing weekend, and football has become a little bit boring, lads. It really has. You know, we're looking at it obviously as professional pundits, I suppose. You'd ask yourself the question, how many of these would I go to if I wasn't going there in a professional capacity? Because I've been at a lot of matches this year where, and even the Kerry Limerick one, and there was a bit of nice football played there, but it was like a challenge game. There was a fair bit of lateral hand passing going on in that game too, and that was a pretty straightforward situation. And you know, there was a fair bit going on yesterday as well in Salt Hill. Like, it's becoming a little bit cancerous in the game. And yeah, I think the rule book is probably, well, you know, coaches won't change their culture if it's a winning one. Like, do you think Derry care now this morning what we think of it? Not at all. They're having their Monday club. And they're probably be their Monday to Friday club up in Derry. So good luck to them. They were deserving champions because they gave a little more of themselves. But I had a real sense yesterday that, I watched an Ulster final where the guts of 30 players were not allowed to show us what they had. Just didn't show us what they had. That's hugely disappointing for Donegal, and a lot of glory in it for Derry. But like, will they replicate that in Croke Park? Very hard game to replicate in Croke Park, Boyler, I'd say.
Yeah, it is. But just picking up on your point there, Kevin, I think the championship, as you said, in general, it's been really disappointing. And me, for one, I spoke about it last week. I was really hoping this weekend we were going to see something. Okay, we knew the Munster final was going to be one-sided. Dublin Kildare was kind of the one we were looking for to see. Can Kildare bring something here and really upset things and really just turn Leinster football for once and for all? And that was just a complete write-off. Then we're looking Galway and Roscommon, and you said it was a decent game, in fairness. Nothing majorly in it. I think Galway were the better team. I think Roscommon were a bit disappointed. What you said, it was over 15, 20 minutes to go. And then we go to the Ulster final, and look, a lot of people have loads of different views on it. And look, we're talking about shot clocks and all that there. I don't think that's ever going to come in or anything like that. I think we're finding it hard enough to manage the rules we have at the minute. So I don't foresee anything like that coming. But just the way it played out, even towards the end of the game, and I'm not someone who says football should only be played one way or anything like that. There's only one way of playing. But just the nature of just the Donegal team we would have played with, or sorry, against, that you mentioned that game in 11, and we obviously played that Donegal team in 12, and they were a lot more developed on. When they turned you over around their half back line, they were gone like bullets. And I mean, 4, 5, 6 boys coming at pace, and they were mixing that up too with the odd kick pass. You compare that to yesterday, when Donegal did get the ball around their own 45, or they received from a kick out, they were walking the ball out. Never any intention of runners coming off shoulders or looking up to see, can we get a kick pass 20, 30 yards up the pitch? It was just, let Derry get into their position. We'll walk the ball up and we'll try and find a gap after 2 or 3 minutes up there. And by the end of the game, what should be a great, and it is a great underdog story with Derry, because it's a huge achievement to win the Ulster title after beating Tyrone, All-Ireland champions, Monaghan, and now Donegal. Even with them last couple of scores in the last few minutes with Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers, I still couldn't find myself to get excited, because after what I'd watched for the previous 80 or 90 minutes, you know.
There was in the RT stats report we got last night, Derry got one single point from turnovers, because Donegal didn't have too many of them, and any of them that had were way up the field. Donegal got no score from a Derry turnover, one of the key sources of scores. And it all boiled down to this, that normally there would be about 40 attacks in a football match, 30 shots and 20 scores. That's the kind of, if you've been following this so-called ass ratio, that's kind of the number. If you have those numbers, you're playing good football. So 40, 30, 20. So 40 attacks, generally a decent team will have in a match. And yesterday we had 18 attacks from Donegal, from Derry in 21. So half the normal amount of attacks in yesterday's Ulster final, which gives you a sense that nobody's taken any chances with anything. Just in, you know, no turnovers. Because why would there be? Sure, there's no one putting a hand on you 50 yards out the field. You're just playing a bit of rugby league over and back. So it's a moment for people to reflect, but I'm not so sure how much reflection is ever carried on in the provinces about the actual quality on offer. It was a contest, but in a very limited sort of way. Contest on the board, on the scoreboard.
It's a credit to yourself, Marty, Kevin, that you did a good job in just getting that across to people as well, because it's difficult as a commentary team. I know this from my own experience to get too much into the opinions. You're trying to commentate what's in front of you, but I think the viewers, you know, it was the elephant in the room as people watched this packed house and this game in the offing. If you just landed in late on, people needed to realize what I'm watching is exactly what the lads are seeing as well. Like I was in a pub and they switched over from Nottingham Forest Huddersfield to the game. And I think a lot of the people, because they weren't bothered, the four lads are in there, not bothered. And there was a lot of shock at how bad it was, you know, from these passing, there were dubs and they were just passing interest. You know, people are just taken aback by where football is, and it's not good for a game. Like, I mean, just when you get the crowds back.
Next weekend, the qualifiers will have to produce something, and the quarterfinals beyond that, you'd be hoping.
But there's the point, Colm. Like, are Mayo going to counterattack against Monaghan the next day? Because they didn't necessarily nail it against Galway. Are they going to meet this now? If Monaghan have any, you know, really drive to make sure they beat Mayo and McHale Park, they're going to take the Galway template and just pack the defence and watch Mayo get frustrated.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think we all expect from Mana. And I would even think that they even might drop one of their forward line from the next day. It could be even the likes of a Conor McManus or someone like that and hold at him for the last 20 minutes or something and play maybe with an extra defender or something like that. But they will really look to frustrate Mayo. I think that's going to be fairly obvious now. So it can't be a shock 20 minutes into the game or something we weren't expecting. You know, I'm sure we've been working on this for the last numerous weeks in training once we got over the initial kind of disappointment and losing to Galway. So this should be something we are trained for now and we were ready to go on. But on your original point, yeah, we have to counterattack. When we turn over Monaghan, we need to attack them and attack them with real pace, not walking the ball up the pitch like Donegal and everywhere yesterday, letting teams get set up against us. I think we move the ball and move it really quick and look for that initial kick pass, even if it's just a 20-yard kick pass, to try and skip a line, to try and take out two or three defenders and get them running back towards their own goal and scrambling back. I think they're the scenarios we need to be looking at next Saturday. But if we play the game at a really, really slow pace, like Donegal did with Derry yesterday, and almost try and play them at their own game and a cat-and-mouse game, I think Monaghan will be better at that than us. So I think we need to try and keep the tempo high, try and get tackles in up high if we can, but definitely around the middle third and try and get them on the back foot. Because, you know, it's strange. I think from talking to Mayo people since this draw has been made, I actually haven't chatting to one Mayo person who thinks we're going to beat Monaghan. You know, it's a very strange kind of, there's been a lot of negativity out there since the Galway game and a lot of kind of talking ourselves down, and even a couple of people have said to me, sure, even if we did beat Manu, we'll probably get Beth, you know, in the round or two after that, you know. So there is a kind of lot of negativity out there, but I think one big performance on Saturday evening, like I think we have to realise we are still in this championship, and I hope the boys are thinking that way. You know, obviously there's injuries and I'm sure we'll get to that and we don't fully know who's going to be ready or not, but no matter who plays, we are still in this championship. And one win Saturday evening against a good Monaghan team. I don't think they're brilliant by any means. They're a good, solid team. But one win, like I said, just opens everything up. You saw there yesterday, there's nothing to fear from the four provincial losers. We can beat any of them if we get our stuff together. And all of a sudden, you're back in a quarterfinal there. And I know that that's a bit away yet, but things can
the Mayo man never up. Thinks he Colm, the Mayo man never thinks he might draw the winners of Louth and Cork.
Yeah, yeah. We always expect the worst. Yeah,
he's always expecting Tyrone. Maybe just to add another little bit to it, and this has been again my experience. I don't know about yours, Colm, in qualifiers. You know, when you're playing teams at that stage, Monaghan to replicate anything like, say, a massive defensive setup that they might want it now that they've seen that this troubles Mayo, it takes a lot of energy and commitment to it, a lot of discipline. And very often that gets lost in a qualifier because teams are drained after the defeat. You know, they put everything into, and you can be sure Monaghan put everything they had into the preparation for the Derry game. Likewise, Mayo, of course, for Galway. My experience from being involved in it and also watching it over the years is qualifiers sometimes take on a life of their own because players are a bit looser and they're kind of seeing it as a bit of a last chance saloon. And maybe they won't die wondering this time. Maybe they were cagey the day of the championship match, the big championship match. And now this is kind of a last chance saloon and they're going to have a cut at it. And that very often pans out that way. I remember we were getting ready to play Armagh in Port Leash in a very important round four qualifier, Roscommon and I talking about. And we were expecting quite a defensive setup from Armagh. The whole thing turned into a shootout within 10 or 15 minutes. Everybody just started having a go from everywhere. And that can happen. It can take a life of its own. So I do suspect they'll go down that road to a certain extent, but I don't think we can take it as a given. And we know it's not really in Mayo's nature to be as disciplined about the defensive setup. Like they're more inclined to play football in a more natural, open style of play. Now, I know that has its limitations, but in a qualifier atmosphere, they very often, Rob, take a life of their own, the games. And you could well see that on Saturday. I don't think the personnel will be there on either side. Are the passion or the energy to fully commit to, say, locking down Mayo with an outrageously defensive setup? I don't think so, anyway.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Do you think, Colm, I mean, when you saw this draw, Colm, what was your first thoughts?
My first thoughts are that it's a real game to focus the mind. You know what I mean? If you got, don't get me wrong, if you got a Cork, if you got a Louth, you know, it's a better draw on paper. But this one, really just to focus the mind, especially after being off for whatever it is, 5 or 6 weeks. You know, I would expect there would have been a real buzz coming into training the day after this draw was made because it's Monaghan. It's a big game now. This is a big game. Saturday evening in McHale Park, it's going to be a big crowd. So straight away, that brings its own enthusiasm into it. Will the game take on a life of its own? As Kevin said, it possibly could. It possibly could. A qualifier game can be different. You know, it can. I just think with Monaghan that they are more natural, or would be more natural to them to kind of almost revert to type and go play their defensive way. And especially when they know Mayo haven't been good against it in the last couple of years, I would expect them to see, especially early on, to try and really rack Mayo off the first 20 minutes, really keep it tight. And then maybe after that, you might see them be a bit more expansive and maybe hold a few more players up top. But certainly early, I think it's going to be cagey.
To add another little bit to Cullum's point, which is well made, is, and I was the same as him, I was delighted we got Tyrone or Monaghan or Armagh. That's what in fact, I was half open to have it away from home and just see where are we. So the point that you make from it is by drawing a tough one, it gets you ready for round two. By drawing, you know, Cork, Louth, Meath, Clare, not, you still wouldn't know where you are going into round two. But if you get out of this alive, your motivation, your energy is relaunched, if you like. Because now you say, geez, we're only one away now from a quarter final. And now you could get a lucky draw. But if you don't, at least you're ready. You know, you could be ready for a Donegal, or you could be ready for a Roscommon or anything like that. I mean, there'd be nobody. Geez, surely, Colm, there's nobody coming out of this that Mayo would fear in a round two. I don't think. No, I don't think so.
It's the confidence, Kevin, as you said. The confidence from whichever team wins this game Saturday evening, and the same with Tyrone Armagh. Whoever wins them games are going to be a real prospect going into the next draw. I would prefer to be in their shoes than coming off the back of a provincial loser games, you know, because them four provincial finalists in particular aren't in good places this week, you know what I mean? And they've only 2 weeks to get themselves ready now. whereas the winners of Mayo, or sorry, them games the weekend, are straight into training Tuesday night and they are ready to go for the following week. You know, so like I said, like we've already said, if you can just get one win, it just changes completely everything for you.
How do you think, Colm, the players who are fit are thinking their way through the amount of players who are, you know, struggling or in a race against time? What's that like in the camp? How much is that affecting the overall confidence?
Look, it's not ideal. I'll put it that way. It can be in the back of your mind. You're kind of, without overly talking about it, you would be kind of chatting to the lads and maybe keeping an eye on the physios to see, you know, are lads talking for training tonight, or are they doing a bit of straight line running, or are they going to join in on training at the end, you know, to play a 20-minute game or something like that, which means they're not far away. But look, it's not ideal. I think the only real time I can think of this amount of injuries would possibly 2018. We had a serious amount of injuries coming through the qualifiers and leading into to Kildare in Newbridge. We do seem to have an awful lot. Now, I don't know what's cleared up. I'm only going by the rumours of the rumours that there are a few more as well. So literally, I don't think anyone's going to know outside of that squad who's going to play on or who's available for Saturday evening. But look, it's far from ideal, Rob. But at the back of your mind, you just got to put this away and hope that, you know, win a game or two and a couple of boys might come back. That's literally all that would be in my head if I was them. You know, try and get a win. Try and stay in the championship. And who knows down the line, who knows who you're going to have back.
Is this the time for James Horan's system to shine, Kevin? I mean, you know, all these players, we always hear about it, interchangeable, next guy steps up. You know, should that be the mindset? Is this the time when all of a sudden you see the strengths of a Kearney or someone else who's just got a bit of game time this year and now he can shine? This is his opportunity.
Yeah, I've always been a little bit slow to buy into, you know, Colin Boyle is out, Rob Murphy is seamless replacement, blah blah. That talk. In that, you know, there are certain players that you can't. It's not a seamless replacement. Like you look at yesterday's games. You know, Michael Murphy doesn't play. Who's a seamless replacement for him? I don't think so. Are a Conor Glass or Rodgers and these sort of players? Like, they're players that are going to dictate the result. Now, you know, we know Oisin Mullen is obviously one of those type of players. Killian is obviously one of those type of players, etc. So it's not seamless. The lads that are, say, down at rookie stage or maybe just beyond that, 2 or 3 years in the... Yeah, they can be replaced reasonably seamlessly. But it's a critical mass. Like, there is a moment where you say, geez, we're going over the top here now. And I think that's a difficulty for Mayo, that they need, you know, a qualifier requires a mental resolve to get through. That's the point Cullum is making very well. You're buying yourself time to get back into this championship. And you win, you get back on the training feed, you get a few lads back, and you don't know where it's going to take. And then the draw might, you could beat Monaghan, and then you get one of the nice draws coming out of the provincial side. In the round two. Now, all of a sudden, you have a bit of momentum and you've bought more time for injuries to recover. So that is the key one. Like, the injuries will have to be very carefully managed. And again, this has been my experience that, again, this idea of a critical mass, like when there's a lot of injuries around the camp, it's not that you want to put them on a bus and shuttle them off to Brafe now and keep them out of the way. You can't do that either. But, you know, I remember the optics of, you know, coming into training and seeing, you know, three tables and three lads on it and a queue with six more behind it. Now, you know what? So we used separated, and there was only one dressing room for anything to do with injuries. You're nearly locking them away from view, if you like. But because you want to keep the positivity in the camp, and you don't want to be saying, oh, Jesus, is that Killian I see lying on Jesus' ankle as big as a balloon or whatever, that type of thing. You have to manage it, and like, they're experts at managing it. This is what they do. But no, it's not as seamless, Rob, as people think it is. It just isn't, because there are certain players in their careers at a certain level of the game with huge experience, and they know how to get this job done, and there's other fellas just learning their trade. So that is a difficulty, and it's desperately unfortunate. I don't know why this is happening to us at this time. It could be that we've been, if you look at the calendar for the last couple of years, Like, we've been playing to the end of the season more than most, and that could be a part of it. I don't know. It could be fatigue, and with fatigue then comes injury and so on. But it'll probably have to be looked into by greater minds than us. But it does. Yeah, it's kind of a bit disconcerting that we're getting so many of them. Or it could be just bloody bad luck. There could be an element of that in it too.
Colm, do you have any insight on that? Having been involved in camps like this, have you thought about this?
About our injuries?
Yeah.
And why we get them, or how we're getting them?
Yeah, we love to speculate, but
We do look at it. And I've always been one that said how lucky I've been throughout the years that we were always brilliantly looked after, as in we were never flogged or anything like that during training. We always trained really, really smartly. And just picked up a few really, really unlucky injuries that couldn't be avoided, no matter what you did. So look, I don't think it's an issue like that or anything like that. Kevin might have a point there, just the amount of football we played over the last couple of years, and you know, you're straight back into your club as well and whatnot, and you might be kind of half injured going back to their club and doing even more damage. But look, at the boys that are there are absolutely top-notch fellas. So it's not from a lack of foresight on their behalf that this is happening. I can guarantee you that. It's just a really bad, I can only put it down to what Kevin is saying, bad luck as much as Anton, and maybe boys pushing themselves too hard, if Anton trying to get back too quick, or you know, trying to play through pain, which is never a good thing either. And it can lead to maybe delaying yourself a small bit more as well. But I think it's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that we seem to have this many. You know, this is the problem. And as Kevin has said, the players that we have had injured too, like obviously we're not even mentioning Tommy Connor anymore because he's been gone since February or so. And like, imagine if we'd a fully fit him, a fully fit Ryan and a fully fit Killeen for a full forward line. We're talking about a different, completely different Mayo team and the energy that gives the rest of our team behind us as well, behind them boys. But it's frustrating, and looking on now from the outside, and you're nearly hearing about more boys getting injured than they're coming back, you know, which is disappointing.
Is that why, Colm, there's so much negativity, do you think? Or do you think some of the negativity is just Mayo fans do tend to get down when they get knocked out? Like, what have you taken? I got the impression that you're kind of taken aback by how much doubt there is out there.
The negativity, I suppose, it could be coming down with the injuries. Yeah, I think it's on top of probably the Galway game, going back even to the All-Ireland last year against Tyrone. Normally, like I said, I'd be off my phone this time of year if I was still playing. So I wouldn't be seeing, I wouldn't be reading papers. I wouldn't really know what's going on in the outside world, to be honest with you, Rob. And now that I'm kind of obviously not in that environment anymore, I do be looking to see what's going on and what people are saying. It kind of has taken me back a small bit, the negativity that's out there. And a lot of that is just sheer frustration, I think. Sheer frustration of the Galway game in particular. And like I said, going back to that Tyrone game. But the injuries certainly aren't helping. They're not helping the mood in the county. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going back to my original point. Things can change very, very quickly. And a win Saturday evening, and all of a sudden there might be a bit more positivity back in the place, and things can be looking definitely up.
Speaking of changes, Kevin, how do you see Mayo changing their approach from the goal again?
Well, always deal with the simple things first. I would suggest things like energy, enthusiasm, being up for it. I mean, they're things, they're controllables. We all can manage those for ourselves. Obviously, James and the management have to project huge positivity. They can't let the nonsense that we're talking about among supporters seep in. So, you know, there's the anticipation of really looking forward now to taking on Monaghan and beating them. That would have to be the atmosphere this week in training, no matter what. Even if there's injuries now, it's a step up for the next fella. That's the way that has to be managed. You can't be dwelling on Tommy Conroy's, well, they're not at this stage. They can't be dwelling on anybody. You just, you know, you have a chat with a fella in training on Tuesday. Look, looks like you're going to be togging on Saturday now, and we need to see what you have. You need to deliver for us, and little stuff like, you have to move on from where you are. So get those things right first and foremost. Definitely, I'm sure they've looked into the fine detail of what was ultimately a disappointing performance against Galway. You know, it really was, because there was a sense that Mayo were in a decent position and they were moving in the right direction, and that knocked us back. And remember, losing to Galway is always a shake for us as Mayo people. That's just the way it is, because of the tradition. You didn't mention the league final column, and even though the league is the league is the league, and I do agree the critical hangover is the All-Ireland, but surely now with the passing of time, that's dissipated. But the league was another bloody jolt up in Dublin that we could have done without. So only if that was being put down to, look, we weren't really interested, we were heading to Galway at that, or preparing for Galway, well then okay, you can box that away. But supposing they were actually giving it a shot, now you'd be worried. So there's all those things to deal with, and then there's what are we going to do on Saturday night, you know, what is the game plan? And again, I know there's a narrative out there that Mayo cannot deal with these mass defences and so on. Well, I just simply don't accept that, because Mayo have been an outstanding team over the last 10 years. They've done everything that's been ever put in front of them, bar win the bloody main event, you know. So they've taken on all comers, all styles, all sorts, and they've done terrifically well against them in all those respects. So Mayo will, you know, they have a top-class management team who will put out the team to best advantage for Mayo. What suits us best? Not what are Monaghan going to bring to the table. You have to be aware of that, but you have to set up where we're going to maximise what we have. And now, what's that going to look like? Well, I ain't a training, so I can't tell you, Rob, but there may be new positions. Now we're back to the Inishia debate again and all these things, but we may have new personnel that will obviously shake it up. That's just a natural consequence of fresh selection. And I would say fresh selection probably is required. It's probably going to be necessary now if all these injuries, or some of these injuries, come to pass. So my sense is that Mayo will play probably very much the way Mayo always played, but be more cognizant perhaps of what's in front of you, what Monaghan are likely, have pictures in your head of what Monaghan are likely to be looking like defensively, so that you can avoid the obvious stuff of kicking the ball straight to a sweeper, kicking the ball where a player is double teamed, etc. Just being clever, being, you know, I that would have been the big thing I'd take away from Castlebar. Mayo weren't clever with some of their chances and some of their possession. They did kind of some stupid stuff. You know, their decision-making in key moments was not what it should have been. And if it had been better, well, we could have gone on and won that match. But that's where I'd be concentrating on as a management team, the stuff that we can handle, and having a picture of what Monaghan might present against us. But geez, Mayo can't just go and change their style overnight, Rob. You know, people think, here, we'll take out plan 27. Isn't it there in the folder there somewhere, Cullum? You know, geez, will we play that now next Saturday? Do you like the look of that, lads? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. You just be emphasised the learnings from the Galway match, but you have to stay true to yourself. I'm back to kind of what I was saying about the Ulster final. Like, you have to be, have the courage to go after the thing yourself when it's there on the line. And is anybody suggesting to me now that Mayo right now on Monday, as we record this, have not the wherewithal to beat Monaghan on any given Saturday in McHale Park? No, I wouldn't accept that. Mayo are well fit to beat the majority of teams in McHale Park on a given Saturday.
Interesting, Cullum. Like, if training is where it's happening, has it changed, do you think? Like, you've been in that camp. Will James Horan have changed things? Who's taken most of the sessions? What do you think it was like over the last few weeks?
I wouldn't imagine it would have changed a whole pile. From my experience of it, it would have been James Burke and Kieran McDonald splitting up the session and splitting up the different drills between them, and literally you go from one to the other, back to the other, and so on for the full session, and normally finish with the 20-minute game at the end. What I would imagine from, I spoke about this after the Galway game, that first week, I think they got the first week off, I think they were back the following Saturday or so, then that first training session or two would have been tough. There would have been a real sense of disappointment and almost doom and gloom. I think once that initially got out of their system and got real back the focus of, we're still in the championship, we're still alive here, I think they would have been working on an awful lot of stuff. Look at it, as Kevin said, focus on what you're strong at. And we are strong. We're strong at running the ball. We're strong at moving the ball quick. I don't think we did that enough against Galway. I think we can do that better against Monaghan. Physically moving the ball through the boot even. I'm not talking about 40, 50-yard kick passes. I'm talking, as I mentioned earlier, one kick pass to get two or three Monaghan players back scrambling towards their own goal. just mix it up a small bit, because we have become predictable. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think our running game even last year got us to a certain point. But once our three or four runners were stopped, we were in trouble. I'm even thinking ahead to Saturday, you know, and Tony Buckley involved, him knowing our defender so well, especially the likes of Paddy Durkin. Like, I'd imagine the likes of Conor McNesky, who went on Garrett McInnes after about 25 minutes, half an hour, when the damage was done, really, against Derry. I think he'll pick him up right from the start and just really track Paddy, make sure he's not coming at pace and getting on the end of moves. And you can see a number of our players been targeted from the back, Lee especially as well, Oisin if he's playing. So we are going to have something different. Matty's going to be tested in midfield. Probably Darren Hughes will pick him up and look to go toe-to-toe with them. So we are going to be tested in that regard. So we need to bring something a small bit different. And just in, I'm saying small bit different, just moving that ball a small bit quicker and not relying on a player going on a massive solo run where he's carrying the ball 40, 50 yards and there's no one coming with them. Just giving them running. I know it sounds very cliched, but running in angles. I don't think we found enough space at the top of the D enough against Galway, where we literally players showing really, really hard. And when you watch back that game, it's funny, at the time you think that space isn't there, but then when you watch the game back, you're thinking, well, that was on if they were looking for it. You know, that there were numerous occasions where them little dink balls at the top of Z, if someone is sprinting out, wins it and pops it off to a runner and open defences up that way. I think they're all little things we need to be looking at for Saturday, because by just physically running at these boys, it's not going to be enough.
Big thanks to Nigel Reap, Office Supplies, Print and Sign, for supporting what we're doing here in the podcast. A friend of the podcast, as you know, comes on to talk football with us. But if you need any printing done, posters, signs, lotto booklets for your club, you name it, then give a shout to Nigel in Knockmore at 086 858 6572.
I'll give you a small one. Just you're asking, how do you change it up? Just to change the mood of your team. And Colin mentioned it there, the foot pass, not necessarily a 40, 50 yard foot, which is, you know, that's, you're really increasing the risk when you're going over that distance. But a 30-meter pass is probably the most important foot pass in Gaelic. That's completely underrated by coaches. And one thing that would change dramatically, even your posture, would be insisting that the keeper foot passes 30 meters on receipt of the ball, that he stops his hand passing out to Cullum at right corner back and off you go, where you put pressure on him to get Cullum out to the wing and get it over the first line of, say, a straggler, a lazy Monaghan attacker, who just that 30-meter pass out the wing, now he's open, and he's got the ball up to midfield before you blink. Whereas if you give a hand pass just out to the edge of the small square, you have to take a few plays on it, you're going to go another little hand pass out towards the wing, and the next thing, you know, it's 5, 6, 7 seconds before you get to the 45 midfield area. Whereas that, just the insistence, or the, you can't absolutely insist on it, but the aspiration for your goalkeeper alone, just take your keeper, Rory Byrne or whoever it's going to be, if it's going to be Rob, do you say, what we want really now is we want the foot pass out left or right. If it comes in on the left, get out on the right. If it comes in on the right, go out on the left. Okay, on the opposite side. And we want you 30 metres, 35 metres, try and pick our wingman, our corner man, if he's cut out to the wing. And get the game going. Get tempo into the game and get going on the front foot. That's just one small little thing. And you're asking about, you know, how do you change it up? How do you put a bit of positivity? That's just one small thing. Won't always be possible. Of course it won't. But if you have a good keeper and he's a good eye and he's heads up, he sees what's in front of him, that pass is on so, so often. We see it as commentators, I see it as managers on the sideline. You're screaming at someone, will you look up? He's free. Give it to him. Small things like that.
If can Mayo go after Rory Beggin's kickouts? I'm going to ask you about it the other way too, Colin, but I'll start with this because, you know, it just, I'm thinking last year's All-Ireland final and balls over the top and we know what the trouble it caused. How do you think Mayo are going to deal with that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't think Beggin is actually playing particularly well at the minute. So can we go after his kickouts? I think we can to a certain extent, but the danger is, as you mentioned there, is getting caught too high. And Monaghan might actually lure you into that almost sense where they're looking for the short one and they're nearly all running towards him. And next thing he booms at 80, 90 metres over the top and they're one flick on and they're bearing down.
Which Darren Hughes is very good at, Cullum. He's very good with a fist in midfield, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And they can almost, like I said, they can lure you into that where you're following, chasing them up the pitch, and next thing it's gone in behind you. So, look, I'm sure the lads have spoken about that as well. But I think it's an area, normally an area we're really good at. And Beggin in particular, we've done well in league games against them. But I know this is a completely different ball game, and we've done well in kind of tracking him out the pitch, and he hasn't hurt us too much in that regards. But it's something we're going to have to be wary of. And look, if they do clip it out to a Ryan Wiley or something like that in a cornerback position, and we can start a press on from there, it mightn't be the worst thing in the world. Because Beggin does get frustrated, and he doesn't want to be doing that for the whole game. He doesn't want to be clipping out short ones to the top of the D and into the cornerbacks, and then you put the pressure on. He wants to try them boomers. So the opportunities will come to get that press on and to get interceptions, but it's about being smart from it, and it's about realizing that you're not going to be able to do it every time. There are going to be some times where you're not going to be set up. He is going to get that ball off, and you just have to get out and press the defender then. But if we're trying to press every one of them, it could lead to yourself to really just chasing shadows and doom, I suppose, what they want you to do is being disorganized, and they'll get runners and they will just come down the pitch at you at different angles. But certainly, from the likes of set pieces, scenarios like that, I think there's definitely opportunities there to get turnovers and to get, I suppose, momentum in the game. Because, you know, look, we all know you win two or three kickouts in a row, you get huge momentum from that, especially if you're getting scores on top of it. So there will be opportunities, but it's about being smart with it. And most of all, as Kevin said, protecting your own goal from it.
I think so. And it adds to the positivity of what you're about as well. Like, I would add, so you know, we've been talking about the goalkeeper with the ball in hand. Cullen's been talking about pressing cleverly on Beggin. He is class. Like, I agree, he's not top of his form, but he still has a two step kick out that can hurt you if you overcommit or you're lazy and you lose your concentration. Another big positive I'd like to see from Mayo, and this was a feature now of Derry yesterday. You mightn't have picked it up on the TV. I don't know how the sideline mics were. I couldn't hear it in my cans, but when I took them down for a drink or something, I could hear Gallagher shouting across. But it was the same in Killarney. Interestingly, the two winning teams, they had this huge energy and cajoling from the sideline to push out to meet the attacking team. So they weren't letting them come to 45. They were making contact, Cullum, real physical contact. Even if the pass was gone away, they left a little bit extra after them, if you know what I mean. They really let it be known, 60 metres halfway, we're going to meet you there. And so there wasn't this sense of the crowd lulling, and there was a bit of contact, a small bit of bite from the half-back line because they were pushing out a bit further. They had the confidence to do it. They were being encouraged to do it. And I think Mayo can do something like that also. It sends a different message. It sends a positive message to the team, but also to the supporters, that you're up for it and you're pushing out. Rather than sitting back 40 metres and letting them get into shooting range and you see uncontested scores and stuff like that, which drains support, drains the team.
And I think, Kevin, too, it's, as you mentioned there, it's when Mayo are at their best. You know, we're winning opposition kickouts and we're going at them. We're on the front foot. And you said then the crowd follows on for that. Remember, we're at home Saturday evening. We need to use that to our advantage. You know, the crowd at the minute don't know where Mayo are at. But if the lads give them something to get behind Saturday evening, the crowd will follow. But we just need to do our stuff first in the pitch.
What are you expecting, crowd?
Yeah, I've heard something around 15. I hope I'm not way off there. Maybe Michael updated us.
That's a great crowd. Yeah, that's the Munster final crowd, nearly.
Yeah, just like, so well. Yeah, exactly. Derek, when you think about it that way, yeah, it wouldn't be far off. Cullum, just on kickouts then, the flip side of that is Mike Finnerty said during the week he thinks Monaghan are going to go after Mayo's kickouts, whoever's in goal. They're going to put real pressure on. What's that going to bring that might be different?
Yeah, I think they will, Rob, but I think they're normally very smart to them as well, as in if it's not on, they won't chase it. So I think they'll target particular kickouts, like I've mentioned earlier on. They'll target set plays in particular. They'll target maybe chances they have to get set up, whether it's from a mark or something like that. But I don't think you're going to see what we saw an awful lot of yesterday, of them retreating every single time or majority of the time. I think they're going to go after and try and try and upset us a small bit more. Like, even if you go back to, if it is Rory in goal the next day, if you go back to Galway's goal, Johnny Heaney's goal, that came from a small bit of pressure on from the Galway forwards. The ball gets chipped out over the sideline, and 20 seconds later, the ball's in the back of the net. So there are huge rewards there if you do put that bit of heat on and that bit of pressure on both sides the next day. It will be interesting to see if Rob, you know, the rumours are that he did get a bit of action against Cavan in a challenge match. It will be interesting to see if he is fit and if he is backfiring and has been able to practice his kickouts in particular. I would think he would start, even though Roy Byrne has done nothing particularly wrong. He's been really, really good and looked really commanding. But I think for experience-wise, just know-hows-wise, big game experience, and like I said, even that option of long-range free-taken, which we've missed a kind of small bit, definitely in the Galway game, you know, that booming 40, 50-yard strike from the ground that Robbie has, I think if he is fit or close to full fitness, I think he will start.
Can I mention also just that the kick-out strategy, certainly when on the morning kickout, and being discerning about what it is you want to go after, being very focused and clear. I was making this point yesterday in commentary that the obvious thing is to pick your battles, pick your fights when it comes to, especially against a top class keeper like Beggin. For instance, it should be obvious and should be very doable that when you get a set play, you mentioned it just there, Colm, when Mayo get a free, and it's likely Killian will score it, or Ryan, whoever's, you know, is taking it. That's an opportunity for Mayo, you know, to have agreed their pre-game strategy, obviously, to say, we're going after the kick out on a set play, whether it goes wide or over the bar, but in particular, if it goes over the bar, because you're not offering up the ball immediately then and losing the momentum of a score. More positivity, more of what I'm talking about. So as Killian is lining up, I'm the corner forward on one side, you're on the other side, Colm. We know where we've got to be now. In 2 seconds, as this ball is floating over the bar, we need to be cutting off the two corner backs and everybody doing their job and everybody knowing what their job is. And now all of a sudden, it's going to take a big hit from Rory Beggin to get a free man. So that's being clever, being discerning about what you go after. Certainly set plays, perhaps scores, although Beggin is quite fast with the reset. You know, he can have the ball on the tee within four seconds or so. So they're a difficult follow. But definitely on set plays, we should be definitely targeting it on that.
Colm, if the game boils down to, I was watching Ross Common trying to pick gaps in Galway yesterday. Like if we get down to that hand pass in the big arc and Monaghan have all come into a shell, against Galway, Mayo fans were very frustrated. The uninitiated, those of us who haven't been involved in high-level football, are just like, why can't we come up with a way of getting through it? What do you want to see Mayo do if they're met with a wall, they're a point down, 2 points down early on? What do you want to see from Mayo?
Just that, I suppose, composure can be a big one, and not to play to the crowd, because I've been in that scenario where you're a couple of points down earlier on, you're playing against that blackened defence and you can hear the moans from the crowd, and it's just not to react to that you've got to say, right, we've got to keep going here. What I want to see, look, we've mentioned already earlier on about playing at pace, that Kevin said it, you can't always do it that way. There are going to be slowed up attacks, there are going to be attacks where Monaghan are going to have 15 inside their R45, so it's what we do in those scenarios. What I'd like to see is more, a bit more of, I think I mentioned already, we've been going very individually. So if one fella decides to go and decides to break the line, he's nearly on his own. We've very rarely seen a scenario where the likes of Ininda Hessian has broke the line and Paddy or O'Sheen are right beside him for pop-offs, for layoffs, or someone has come around in a loop, taking a nice shot from on top of the D. I don't think we've got enough, what I'd nearly describe as handy scores, where you can see this almost a pattern of play, or there's, you know, yeah, they've definitely been working on that training. A lot of our scores seem very hard work and kind of nearly a small bit off the cuff. So what I'd like to see a small bit more is, you know, runners off shoulders, angle runs, like I mentioned earlier on, trying to find a man in space on the top of the D, you know, kind of what we used to do 2, 3, 4 years ago, and runners coming off him at angles and just really giving them something different to think about. You know, it's an awful lot easier said than done. It's an awful lot easier said when you're sitting on a sideline talking about it. It's a completely different scenario when you're actually in the middle of it and there's 15, 14 boys facing you up and they just want you to come inside the 45, to come into contact. But it's about just keeping our composure. That's the thing, because the shots will come. I think the shots came against Galway. This is the thing, Rob. You know, people talk about Galway's brilliant display defensively against us. The shots came, but we'd lost our composure by the time the shots came. And I know some of them might have been on, but I think we 32 shots, which is pretty much the range Kevin mentioned earlier on when he was on about your shots to attack ratio. 32, if you tell me now we'll get 32 shots against Mana and I'd be very happy. It's about keeping your composure in that. We only, I think, 50%. And I think actually, funnily enough, Monaghan were the exact same against Derry. I think they had something like 33 shots, but their composure was completely gone after the first 15 minutes or so, and they were around the 50% mark as well. So just keeping calm, keeping your composure is going to be two critical aspects of the game Saturday evening.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
So in a sense, Kevin, what Colm's saying is Mayo actually did beat the Galway blanket. They just couldn't score.
But didn't I? That's what I said to you already. Like, Mayo don't have to have massive change in their outlook. They just need to tidy up what they're doing. I'll throw another one in there, Colm. Decision-making. You know, it wasn't what it should be at our level. And that cost us dearly against Galway. And to add again, you're beating me to the punch every time here, Boyler. To add also to having different looks, presenting something different. Like, it's highly likely Monaghan will play a sweeper in their defensive setup. Well, let's us do something for a change. And I mentioned this definitely on a previous podcast with you or Mike or someone, that throw in Aidan O'Shea in full forward and occupy that sweeper. Make the sweeper now think about life for 10 or 15 minutes. Throw different looks at what it is you're trying to do. Like, rotate them in 10 minutes. Two things will happen, Rob. It's either working or it's not working. Rotate them out if it's not. Get them back into the game further out the field. That our players ask questions off the defensive setup. Like, if there's good movement and there's players filling spots, if there's a couple of runs made to the top of the D, popping it off, as Cullum is saying, all of a sudden now the sweeper and what he's about comes into question by Monaghan. But if we do what we did against Galway, which was not clever, where they had the double sweeper in Young McHugh and Kieran Malloy, and we never once changed it up really and asked a big question. Like, if we had put in, I'm not even saying Aidan O'Shea, pushed in a full forward that played his position. Now, one of the sweepers has to do something. He has to go back out and he has to sag back in and give a bit of help, especially if it's someone of the stature of Aidan O'Shea or Matty Ruan, whoever it might be, that you have to ask different questions. Like, the one thing we can't allow is Monaghan just get comfortable with their defensive setup and the responsibilities where the sweeper, you know, he's having a cigar and a brandy in between our attacks. You know, you have to keep him busy. You have to ask him big questions where he's making decisions very fast and a lot of them, and then he screws up on two of them. That's what you have to do.
Colm, Mayo were a bit isolated against Galway, 2-on-2 in the back line, a bit isolated against Kerry. Can they do that again? Can they leave like O'Hara and McManus and hope that the one-on-one works out, or do they have to come up with something a little bit more protective?
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have to protect them. There's no doubt about it. We need to be learning from this now, and we need to make sure, you know, we talk about how we're going to play. Monaghan are going to look to turn us over and attack at real pace, and they'll be looking at that space that's been there the last couple of games. And if you leave McCarron, Moyle, McManus, particularly in that space, then they're going to be getting their scores an awful lot easier than we're going to be getting ours. And that's going to leave it an uphill battle for us. So we need to be getting that structure. We need to make sure that we're not committing too many men forward on attack. So if there are three boys gone, then someone else needs to hold. We need to at least have, I would see even suggest, almost two defenders, spare defenders inside our half, where if that counter-attack, quick counter-attack happens, we're ready to cut off with that first initial kick pass, and then you're ready to go with any runner that might have broken through untracked, and you track him all the way to the end.
Those three, Colm, also, those three modern lads that you just mentioned, they're tending this season now. I don't know, is it Donny Buckley thing or whoever the coaching staff is there, but they're tending to hold their line. They're not tending to be back out the field on the counter-attack. So they actually have a full forward line to aim at, which, you know, you don't see that too often. the certain minimum of two men. Maybe McManus might float out a bit because Moan and McCarron, their pace would be a little bit suspect, I would have thought. But they do have those three lads as targets, Rob, and that is a dangerous thing. You know, it gives them options. So I totally agree with your observation that we have to now be clever. We have to cop ourselves on. You can't give Pádraic a whore in the light. Like Pádraic, for all, and he's been sensational for Mayo in many respects, but he's still learning his game too. He's a kind of a, you know, he's a rookie, if kind of, with a year or two experience. That sounds like a contradiction, but you know what I mean? Like he hasn't played a massive amount of ball at the championship level. So of course he needs protection, which is everyone needs a bit of protection if it can be given. So we need to certainly have learned our lesson from that, and minimum one man coverage. And if he can get two, yeah, absolutely. So that would be a big thing for me, that if I see one-on-one against that sort of a full forward line and every man for himself, well, now you're inviting trouble. And you wouldn't get too many plaudits now for, you know, trying to explain how you got hurt doing that if you don't take some sort of advance precaution.
Even if we go back to our league game against Monaghan, like especially early doors, and that space was there, like Monaghan could have been 1-4, 1-5 up before he even got on the scoreboard that day. You know, so these are all things I'm sure we're going to be looking at, and we look at this. There's been a lot more games since that, but that particular game against Monaghan, if we leave them boys that space, they will hurt us. There's no doubt about it. Everything Kevin is talking about there. So I would suggest, you know, we've already said it there, you're holding at least two there of all time, and you're stopping that initial kick pass in, and then you're getting out and defending after that. But it's vital for Saturday evening.
Kevin, if I give you two scenarios to finish this, because we'll get a prediction from you then, and we'll have our little clubhouse section, we'll be done. But give you two scenarios. If it's a 40-point cumulative game, you know, something like 22 to 18 type stuff, does that suit Mayo better than maybe a 25-point cumulative game, if you know what I'm trying to say? What suits Mayo
better?
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. Like if it's very tight and defensive, the home team generally suffers more because of the crowd expectation. It does become a bit nervy, and you know, Colin Muslin takes a lot of discipline not to go against the game plan when you can hear the moans and groans, and it does. And eventually you'll see a flyer, someone will come out of somewhere and make a burst and get caught and get isolated, of course, which is what Monaghan would want us to do. So we don't want an arm wrestle, I don't think. I don't think Mayo want that type of game. I think Mayo should play it on its merits. You know, take the necessary defensive precaution, but play the game that Mayo want to play. And yeah, if it's high scoring, just make sure we're the right side of the high score. I have every sense that we will be. I don't see why all the pessimism is there. Jeez, did you see that hammer and Monaghan took? Like, they got an awful tanking against Derry. So, and Derry were kind of at that stage, you know, still coming from, I won't say nowhere, but not far away from it. And Monaghan were the form, the big favourites. So, like, how do you think their camp is now all week? I doubt the whole of Monaghan is hugely confident that they're going to come down to Mayo and beat us by 6 or 7 points pulling up. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, that's certainly from a Mayo perspective something we should go after. I wouldn't be afraid of, you know, 120 to 16, 17 points, something like that. Absolutely not.
Colin, your prediction, your thoughts?
Yeah, just to kind of follow up on Kevin's point there, Monaghan are almost they're a team that's nearly more dangerous when they're not expecting to win themselves, as in when they're favourites for a game, they're almost, they almost unfold, and it just doesn't happen for them for some reason. But they probably will from the outside counties. They'll be coming in as slight underdogs on this, which does make them dangerous. But I've still full confidence in our boys. I think from watching on the last couple of weeks on the championship, it would have been tough for them. From watching Galway win Connacht yesterday and seeing the path now that's in front of them, I think Mayo boys are going to be hurting now. And they're going to be hurting, but still realizing that we're still in this. And like I said earlier on, one win Saturday evening, and we could be going to a quarter final. We could be going on the same side as Galway, Derry, and whoever else is there, and things can completely open up for you. So I think we're going to bring a huge intensity Saturday evening. A huge, huge intensity. Something we basically haven't seen from Mayo this year. Because we have been flat for long times at the league final, obviously Kevin mentioned, I'd forgotten about that. And when we were talking about it. And then obviously the Galway game, we were so, so flat. But I'm expecting something different now. Personnel mightn't be what we want it to be Saturday evening, but whoever's on the pitch for that period of time, I think we're going to bring something, like I said, we haven't seen. And I think it's going to be enough, that will to win and that want to win. I think it's going to be enough to get us over the line Saturday evening.
Do you remember the Donegal qualifier a few years ago? You must have been involved in that, I imagine. Do you remember that day in Castlebar?
The Super 8s game.
Or Super 8s, was it? Sorry,
yeah,
Super 8s.
Yeah, yeah, that, unbelievable occasion.
That's what Mayo need to bring to this. That sort of, you know, let's bring it on now, get stuck in, and let's relaunch our championship aspirations, full in the knowledge that they're every bit as good as a lot of the stuff that's out there. And a victory and a good draw, and next thing you're on the road to Croker, and different things happen.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Colin. We're sticking around for a couple more minutes in the clubhouse section for the Patreon listeners. But for everyone else, we will talk to you in a week. Sign up to Patreon. You'll get the Here Comes the Weekend episode. Mike Finnerty, Billy Joe Patton, and a special guest from Monaghan. That's what you have to look forward to. In the meantime, enjoy the game on Saturday. Thanks, lads.
Cheers, Rob. Thank you.
Cheers, Rob.